Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I mean, look, I'm always going to try to do what I feel is, you know, best for the team in a particular game. And that's kind of how we felt yesterday. And that's really it. Couldn't get into a rhythm, really, the majority of the first three quarters. Became a two-score game, and we felt like we needed a spark, and so we stuck Fitz in there. And we felt like that was the best thing for our team to try to win a ball game last night. Look, Tua's, you know, he's a resilient kid. I don't know if there's a message or anything to take from it. It's, you know, the same message the entire team gets. You know, we all have to play better. We've got to coach better. He's not in this alone. He's got my full support. He's got the support of our coaching staff. He's got the support of everyone, every player in that locker room. Conversely, he supports all the other players in the locker room as well. So I don't know if there's a message here or, you know, make too much of this. He's the starting quarterback. I think he knows that. We've had that conversation. He's played well, and, you know, I expect him to continue to play well. I expect him to bounce back. You know, he's a resilient kid, like I've said. He's a talented kid as well. I expect him to bounce back. I expect our entire team to bounce back, to be honest with you.
Coach Flores talking about the Tua situation. Coach, it's our job to take it out of context and make too much out of it. And on the line right now is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls are brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. You can also hear Michael on the GM Shuffle, his weekly podcast, available on Radio.com. Michael, as always, thank you very much for the time. It's our job to make too much of it. What did you take out of the Tua benching on Sunday?
You know, I was watching that game closely, and I thought that he needed to do something. I just didn't feel like Tua was comfortable. I thought Vic Fangio, the head coach of the Broncos, had a good game plan against Tua, kind of kept him in the pocket, tried to, as we've talked about many times. The thing is, when you play little quarterbacks, six-foot quarterbacks, you got to make them play small. And the only way you make them play small is you limit the boots and nakeds, and you rush inside. And I think that's what Denver tried to do, and they did it fairly well, and they made it very challenging for Tua to get into a flow, to get into a rhythm, and to feel comfortable within the pocket. And I think Brian did what he gave himself a chance to win. I mean, that was a winnable game. Now, look, they played horribly, horribly on third and long. I mean, they gave up way too many third and long, third and 11, third and 13. They couldn't stop anybody. And so this really wasn't all about just Tua not playing well. This was about the team not playing well. But I thought at the end of the game, his only chance was to throw the ball outside the numbers, to throw the ball down the field. And I'm sure he thought Fitzmagic could do that for him. And he did until he threw the interception.
Michael, so just a follow-up to it. So because people go, you bench a young guy, he's your guy, you're going to mess him up, he's going to be looking over his shoulder. What do you say to that stuff if it happens again?
I say hogwash. I mean, look, the guy's got to perform. You know, you can't baby him. I mean, we're not at Alabama. We're not playing Vanderbilt this week, right? You know, you're not going to have every throw is going to be wide open. You're not going to have five number one receivers. You got to make plays, and you're held accountable just like everybody else on this team. I think if you understand Brian, and I love him to death, I thought he was a great coach when I was with him in New England. I think he's going to be one of the great coaches in the National Football League. I think he's got it. He understands Belichick in his own way without trying to become Belichick in the Belichickian way. And that's really unique. And so he understands that if he's going to stand in front of the team and hold everybody accountable for their play and then ignore the poor play of the quarterback, He knows he's got Ryan Fitzpatrick on the sideline saying to himself, I could play better than this kid. I could play better than that kid. And there's a little bit of that conversation going on the sidelines. You know, unless Tua comes out and just dominates, people are looking at it skeptically. You have to understand, NFL players and executives, just because the shine of Alabama lays on a player doesn't mean it's the same when you get him in the building. They got to prove it. And I think what Brian's saying to the kid is you got to prove you earn this job. I'm just not going to give it to you.
Well, he basically, you know, threw him in the mix a couple weeks back and we all thought it might, you know, it was a weird timing, I guess, for some people to get him in the game. But is there going to be, do you think that there's a short leash on him just the rest of the season? Like if he starts struggling here in the middle of the third quarter? Yeah.
I think it's going to be predicated by who they play and how they're being played. I think when you play, the NFL is always about matchups between the coordinators. It really is. And when you play against someone as good as Vic, who, you know, can understand how to rush a quarterback, what drives me crazy more than anything, and I think we saw it last night, Tampa, how the Rams rushed Brady and how the Bucs didn't rush Goff. I think the quarterbacks, how you stop a quarterback in the NFL is through how you control him in the pocket, how you rush him, how you make him slide right and left, how you make him step up or step back, by the way you rush the passer. And I think that depending on the teams they play, depending on how this goes forward, you know, then I think it's going to be determined. Do I think the Jets will rush him the right way? Probably not. But I know this, he'll get a lot of more pressure in this game. Because remember, going into that game, you know, there were 25 passes when they won 2 weeks ago but that he had to face pressure on. He completed 15 of those passes against pressure for about 6 yards, for about 5 yards per attempt. So once people get the sense, if we attack the pocket this way and you're not going to make big explosive plays on us, we're going to keep attacking. Now, you know that's what the Jets will do with Greg Williams. How successful they'll be, who knows. But I think Tua's going to have to prove that. And until he proves it, he's going to have a short leash.
Yeah. Speaking of last night, Tom Brady, boy, you're right. I know everybody's going to talk about the throws. I think a lot of it has to do with the pressure. He's getting especially up the middle. He's like everybody else, but makes a terrible throw at the end of that game to the closest guy that was the guy that caught it playing center field, the safety. What do you think about Tom Brady's overall play so far?
You know, you've got to be completely objective with it, right? I mean, you know, last night there's a game they have to win. You know, he throws it 48 times, Joe. You know, he's almost less than 50%. You know, he's not completing enough passes. They couldn't run the football. They had 18 rushes for 42 yards. So they put the ball basically in Brady's hands for 48 passes, and they lost, you know. And they did a great job. Both teams did a great job of stopping the run last night. But Goff actually played better than Brady. Brady's not able to. If the pocket's not clean, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a real problem. And I think that that's what happens in the game. And you can't live. Brady can't live at age 42 for throwing it 48 times. That's just not what he's going to do well. They've got to find a way to run the football more effectively and take some of the pressure off. Look, they've got great skill players. But the reality of it is he didn't play to the level that they needed him to play. And he hasn't played to that level in the last couple big games. I mean, they're 7-4. Will they make the playoffs? I think so, but they're not going to beat good teams in the playoffs because they can't control the offensive line and Brady can't make plays without moving.
Michael, I got to ask you just something a little different that I know you're really aware of. The scouting during this COVID-19 and the players, and not only the players, but the guys have already opted out. Some really good football players decided not to play. How are you going to be able to get all that information, which we've had problems with in the past, to find out guys have, to put it nicely, mental issues that we weren't aware of, that some high picks that ended up, as you know, especially in the Pac-12, we didn't do real well on a couple guys. How do you stop that from happening? It's even more difficult now. How are you going to get all the information you need for guys that haven't played more in a year that you might draft?
You really, Joe, you got to think differently. You know, one of the things I tried to do when I was in Cleveland, and unfortunately, I hired this young woman who was at LSU. She knew mostly every single player in the Southeast Conference. And one thing I learned in life is the players never lie to girlfriends. They always tell the truth, right? So, you know, the women can find out a lot more about the players than any of we can. So I hired this young girl, Carly McCord. Unfortunately, she passed away in a plane crash last Christmas heading to a game. And basically, I hired her when I was in Cleveland to help me scout, to find out information on players, because the old methodology of us going to the school and talking to the coaches lie. They have to lie because they have to protect their players.
Right.
No one tells you the truth. So you can't find out about the character. You can't find out about the mental. So we hired her, and she knew a lot about the players. She had girlfriends and friends of friends, and it was getting really good. And then I got fired, unfortunately, so I never really had it come to fruition.
Right. That's
which,
great.
You know, I'm not bitter about it at all, Joe. But so you have to be able to use different methodology to find out about the players. If you ask, you're never going to be able to uncover the truth on campuses. You know, in 1984, when I first started scouting, I could go to a school and they would tell me everything. The trainers would share all the information. The coaches, they would yell about the players. They would tell you who was good, who wasn't good. But today, because of the HIPAA laws, because of the confidentiality between, you can't. So you have to find different ways. And you know, instead of going to the football office, you're better off going to the local tavern that's near the campus and ask the bartender about who comes in here. And what are the kids like that come in here? Because that's the only way you're going to really find the true answers in terms of getting it down. The best thing we have going for us today is you don't have to leave your office to watch the tape, because all the games are on your video. When I first started, you had to beg, borrow, and steal to get tape to watch.
Wow.
Not anymore. Right, not anymore, Michael. Michael, we're living in a world right now where a team that could end the season 5-10-1 is going to be hosting a playoff game in the NFC, the Philadelphia Eagles, or maybe even a 5-11 team. It's weird even looking at the standings and seeing the Giants, Washington, and the Cowboys still in it, still have a chance. This has got to be one of the weirdest seasons for that NFC East, and how bad is the NFC East at this point?
Well, I mean, look, the Eagles are really bad. I mean, they're bad. I mean, and they have to play Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, and Arizona in the upcoming 4 weeks.
Oh.
Okay? So, and they can't complete a forward pass. Here's what's remarkable about the Philadelphia Eagles. They averaged, in the last 5 weeks before the Cleveland game, they were averaging 6 yards a rush. And they were averaging 6.4 yards every pass attempt. Yet they were third in the most passing attempts and 31st in the most rushing attempts. They refuse to run the ball, and they keep putting the ball in their quarterback's hands, who turns the ball over at a rapid rate. They've yet to adjust to how bad they are. Their offensive line has been really disastrous. Jason Peters got destroyed last week against Olivier Vernon, a former Dolphin, and really cost them the game. So there's really not a good team. I mean, Dallas played their best game of the season beating Minnesota last week. Washington has got a good enough defense. If Alex Smith can make a few plays offensively, the Giants actually have been the best team consistently. They had the Eagles beat in the first game on Thursday night that Evan Engram dropped the pass. You know, they've beaten Washington twice, and they've beaten Dallas. So they've got 3 wins in the division. They should have 4, and they may be the team that wins it. They got Cincinnati coming up this week, so they might be the best team. They might be the best of the bad.
Mike, I'll leave you with this one, since always a big deal down here and always has been with the undefeated thing. Can the Steelers, looking at their schedule, go undefeated this year?
You know, I mean, I'm sure that most of the 72 Dolphins are expecting the Ravens to win this week, which will be a challenge. I mean, they've got Washington after this. They go to Buffalo, they go to Cincinnati, they play Indy at home, and then they go to Cleveland. So, you know, I mean, this will be one they have to get. I don't see them losing to Washington. Buffalo will give them problems because Buffalo can throw the football on them. Buffalo's a tough place to play in December the 13th. I know it's just up the road from Pittsburgh. And, of course, the Colts will give them a little bit of trouble because the Colts understand how to play them. And then the Browns, you know, the Browns are a bad matchup because the Browns can't throw the ball on them. And they can't run it because it's hard to run on Pittsburgh. I think they will lose one, Joe. I really do. I think you'll be uncorking champagne sooner rather than later.
I don't pop it, but we still got some of the old boys around here. We'll pop it for sure.
I hope we keep a lot of them around. It's the good part of the game. You know, I think we need to understand the tradition. That's why we all like to watch the Masters, because of the tradition of the Masters. If we lose it, you know, it's like when I watch when the Dolphins wear their throwbacks. It's good to see those old uniforms come back, because
Michael,
it reminds you of the traditions of the game. So, anyway, well, I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks,
I really
Michael.
Do.
You too, right Michael. Back at you, Michael. Thank you, buddy, for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Always appreciate Michael Lombardi, and that was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. You can also hear Michael on the GM Shuffle, his weekly podcast available on Radio.com.
All right, so I want to tell everybody this morning, you haven't refinanced. You probably can save a lot of money if you do. The rates are still in the twos, fixed rate mortgages in the twos right now. I don't know how long it's going to last, but why not take advantage of it? Now, some of you are going to say, well, I don't want to deal with banks. I'm tired of banks. Bankers are tough to deal with. They want all the perfect people. They take forever to get you approved. Well, if you're going through banker frustration right now and your credit score might have taken a little hit, you're wondering, where do I go? Who can I go and talk to about all this stuff and get information quickly without the hassle of setting up an appointment and all the other stuff? I just want to get to it. Well, Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgages, let's just get to it kind of guy. Doesn't work banker's hours. You say banker's hours, he gets mad. He might throw a punch and hit you like Mike Tyson. But I will tell you something. He works 7 days a week, and he's working for you right now. You can call or text him. I always tell everybody, you want great service. You want to get the lowest rates. You want to get approved quickly. You want to buy. You've been renting or in an apartment. Now you want to buy because you know money's cheap. You should. And you should go through Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage to get it done. He's been in business since 1994, a triple A rating with a Better Business Bureau, equal housing lender, NMLS 166254. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage is a hot guy right now. He is the hottest guy. People are going to him. We're getting more people saying thank you. That's what I wanted, man. 561-441-2730. 561-441-2730. Call or text Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. All right, I want to thank Michael Lombardi for coming on, joining us this morning as he gets set for a little Thanksgiving, man. And so, really, we'll check in on the text machine, 305-567-0560. But I'm working on it, and I'm still not great at it, that I hate somebody. I do hate
the hate
things,
word. The hate word, yes.
But I'm trying to say, like, I got a handful of guys. Like, I'm not, as you know, a big Jeff Ireland fan. He jumps up the top of the list. I think he's a real piece of you know what. But I don't hate him. Like,
mean. Hate's a strong word, man.
Hate's strong, you know.
Very strong
and
word.
When you say that, and I don't mind sucking. You know, our boy loves to say everything sucks, and that guy sucks, and the team sucks, and sucks.
Everyone
you can't spend
this,
right? The better part of what, 20 years ripping a guy and then say you don't hate him, though, Joe.
Well, I mean, I said I'm working.
I mean, you've been ripping the guy forever. Like, you said everything
well,
there
all,
is to say about the guy. That means you hate
you.
Him. Like,
It's you haven't been with me for 20 years while I'm stumbling through this.
Correct.
I haven't. You haven't been with me for 20 years. So.
I've been with you in spirit, Joe. I listened to you as a kid, so I know
so
who you've had.
Like,
I know who you've had it in for a long time here, and you do hate these people. I mean, whether you want to admit that word or not.
So, I've had some people in the organization that have heavily disliked me, and the way you get treated on the road and stuff. That's usually when it really comes out. Then. It's like, instead of letting it go, I go, it's on. I mean, now it's okay, here we go. Because, you know, I'm looking going, well, you ain't going to last long, and you won't be here long. And so, yeah, but, I mean, I'm working on hateful. I'm working not to get into the thing hate. I am working on it as
strong
I get older.
Word. Strong word. Right.
But we all say it, man. Like, I hate, all right, I dislike that guy. I dislike him. It just sounds a little softer.
But there's got to be someone on Zach's list, right? Come on, Zach.
I don't know. Zach just gets along with everybody in everything, so everybody likes him.
I hate Allen Houston.
Okay. No, but that doesn't count.
You
can't dislike a guy because you beat your team. That's not how this works here.
Yeah, that's not personal hate.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that I had to ask you guys for permission who I hate. Yeah, I hate Allen Houston.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't sure.
So basically nobody is what you're saying.
Hate's a strong word. No, I don't. I hope no one hates me. Like, I don't.
No,
want,
they don't.
Right.
They're
I
good.
Don't.
They're good.
I'm good with that. I don't have to have hate. There's too much BS in the world.
305.
So you're saying you're not polarizing like Joe Rose?
No, like you. That's who it is. Like you, I know you hate people, and I know people hate you.
That's okay. Yeah, so just, but that's okay want, because not everyone. But not everyone's gonna like you.
Yeah. I don't care if everyone likes me or not. I just don't want to hate. Hate's a really bad word.
It is hard for everybody to like you. It is really hard to get everybody to.
I'm
say
okay
it,
with
you
know? That. Yeah.
Hey, 305-567-0560. Zach, what do we got coming in here real quickly? Change the subject so it doesn't get ugly.
By the way, if anyone listening to the show does happen to hate Zach or like really strongly dislike him, I'll read those texts.
Oh, I'll read those texts.
If they come in, I'm happy to read those.
Someone said Zach hates Tim Reynolds. No, I don't hate him. I just dislike him a lot. So there you go. So there's my hate word.
I'm trying to figure out the Tim Reynolds. Like Tim... Like, all of a sudden, none of the stuff that happened never really happened, and he doesn't understand, and he wants to get past all the stuff. So
Right. And he's the one who started it all year ago.
I know, but we got Tim's not a bad guy.
No, I don't think – I'm sure he's not a bad guy. I just like him. I don't hate him, but I just like him. You act like a jack, you know what? You're going to get treated like a jack, you know what?
All right, but we
– That's it.
We got to have Tim on. And
you got to have Tim on.
Why don't you text him?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Right.
Learn how to use your phone, get his number, and text him.
Yeah, I know how to use my phone to text.
No, right. You don't. You want to tell the last time what happened when we talked about Tim Reynolds on the air, what happened to you?
You guys pranked me, man. You pranked me bad.
So we took, I guess it was Solana's phone because Solana was coming on after us. You spent the morning blasting Tim for whatever. Actually, I think it was Curtis at the time who you were egging on to tell a story. And so I took Solana's phone. I said, hey, this is Tim Reynolds. If you talk about me again on the show again, I'm going to come over there and beat your ass. You were running around the building like a lunatic.
I was there for that.
I said you guys got me. You got me.
You were stewing in your car on the way. I mean, you said things like.
I just thought, so I didn't think Tim Reynolds like doesn't threaten people. It's the only thing I question, but I could see him pulling like the. You know, please stop. Like, it's over. Okay. I mean, I don't see Tim going around as he's a big fella, but I don't see him going around as a big fella threatening to beat people up.
You can play it off now, but you took the bait worse than I mean, that was one of the better ones. You were running around the building. Who is this guy? I'll kick his ass if he comes down here. I mean, you were running. I mean, it was awesome.
No, I would have kicked his ass. But anyway, what else you got, Zach, coming in?
All right. Let's see what else. It says, Joe, how does a young quarterback learn to overcome stuff if you're pulling them out all the time?
What are you talking about all the time? He got pulled out for one quarter in the game they tried to win.
Well, we're talking about the short leash. Talking about short leash method, if that's the case. Michael Lombardi mentioned that.
I wouldn't do it over and over would be my thing. I don't think it's healthy to do unless, I mean, first of all, if he continues to be really bad, we got – probably more problems than just him, like the offensive line. But I just let's give it time before we decide and start reading the future of what's going to happen. I am really curious to see because he's going to struggle again.
Right.
And if it's a close game that you still have a chance, I wouldn't be surprised if he does it again. But I want to see, like, what this coach does. By the way, this guy does – self-evaluate and listen to people and thinks things out. So I will see what happens. But I agree. If you keep jerking somebody out, it's not. I mean, if we were to go 4 out of 6 games and he keeps saying he's getting better and better, but I took him out in the fourth quarter again,
right,
then,
right.
Then
that's
I'm
a
like,
problem. Raph on Miami says, so Tom Brady doesn't shake hands when he loses. I would really like to see a quarterback tell him to F himself or F off when he wins and comes over to shake hands with him.
So funny. That was the old school way, man. There was like after games when the bad blood in the 80s, there was a lot of guys that would never shake a Jets player unless you went to college with them. That was kind of the unwritten rule. I mean, it was bad. Like Mark Gastineau, first name. Like we had a lot of guys who were gonna shake his hand. Like him. It was bad. There were a lot of bad blood. And that was legit bad blood when the Jets had some pretty good football teams with Richard Todd and that group. They weren't exactly gonna bond after the game.
That's probably closer to hate than anything else. Those guys did not like each other. You were part of that. There was no love lost between those Jets and Dolphin teams.
Do you, if Bob Kuchenberg, you think Bob Kuchenberg is going around and be everybody's buddy?
No, no, I do not. No. I do not. Not there isn't a chance in hell. All right, we have some of the burger text that came in. Said 2 hours is way too long to wait for a fast food burger. This is the Popeyes chicken sandwich debate all over again. Not worth it.
By the way, give it to Popeyes for one thing.
Right.
Whoever set up that damn marketing thing.
Genius.
And I still haven't had it, and I'm sure it's really good. But, man, you got to hire them. You got to give those guys an extension, whoever came up with that damn thing where you run out of damn chicken.
Right, right.
Right?
It was a genius move by them.
Got into the debate about and put Popeyes right in the middle of the best chicken sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty damn good stuff. But
good move.
Why would somebody wait 2 hours to go to a fast food restaurant?
Stop.
Stop. Like, I might as well go to a real nice, popular restaurant.
Right. Yeah, if you're going to sit in a restaurant for an hour and a half or 2 hours, that's a different story. Someone said 20, 25-minute tops, no more than that. In-N-Out Burger isn't better than Five Guys. There's no way in hell I'd wait more than 10 minutes. It's called fast food for a damn reason. It needs to be quick, under a heat lamp, and ready to go out the window.
I agree. Totally with you.
Right. Not waiting an hour for a burger. I don't care how long it is. And the longest I ever waited for a burger was at, oh, here we go, Hollywood, La Tub in Hollywood. 1 hour and was worth every bite. But it was a restaurant. That's a different story.
Let me tell you, La Tub, that's a big, bad dude right there.
It's good.
That is.
Yeah.
That's.
Someone said they waited 2 hours for those Knoxberry Farm cinnamon rolls. Those lines are ridiculous, too,
so
when they're open.
I've had them sent to me, but I have never been there. I wouldn't know where,
I've been
is
there.
That place.
Oh, it's all the way. It's a far drive.
It's south.
The city?
Right. No, it's really
Homestead?
Far south, yeah.
It's Homestead, right.
I thought you were going to tell me Key Largo. You scared me when I said that.
Well, it's closer to Key Largo than your house. Damn. At that point, right. Yeah, it's pretty far. But yeah, I've went there and waited in a line, but not more than 15 or 20 minutes.
Everybody, you driving down there, Joe? Looks like you could use a few cinnamon rolls.
Get one of those big platters, right? They come with like 30 rolls.
Oh,
in.
You're beautiful.
Add that to the Thanksgiving spread.
Hey, listen, man, I deserve that. I deserve that. That's why I stopped walking at that damn mall, man. I smell those damn things. I go, maybe one won't. You know, I'm going to walk a couple miles. Maybe one won't hurt. Nah, it's not good, man. Not a good way. Hey, we got a lot more stuff to get to, including are you going to buy it or not when we come back, as we got a lot more information on the big weekend exhibition. We'll have that story for you when we come back. But first, got to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers this morning. Hey, man, got a few days off coming up here during Thanksgiving and starting to look around, want to take some test drives, see what's out there in the market. Spend some time at your South Florida Chevy dealers. Best advice I could give you, because I know you're going to love all the new cars, trucks, and SUVs. A lot of new looks, like the new Tahoes and new Suburbans. If you're looking for something that gives you plenty of room and you're not worried about it, why not? Why aren't you in a Tahoe? Why aren't you in a Tahoe, man? They are so much fun to drive, so much space. And listen, I just think it's as good a ride. I see myself dying in a friggin' Tahoe. I really do. Hey, listen, we got a lot to talk about. Silverado trucks. If you're a lot of people buying trucks these days, you're going to be impressed, man, because we got so many different style trucks, so many great looks, that we have the perfect truck for your lifestyle, man. If it's a family truck, if it's a working truck, the combo truck, we got them all for you that fit you and the whole family. Midsize SUVs like the new Traverse and the new Chevy Blazer. Hey, man, I can go on and on, but listen, I think Chevy, when they tell you this is the best it's ever been, you start talking about a great price and a great look and more space for your family and all the new safety features, we know you're going to love what you see. So when South Florida Chevy dealers tell you this is the best overall products from top to bottom we've ever had, we want you to come by, take some test drives, sit, spend a little time at your South Florida Chevy dealers over the next couple of days. We got locations all over Dade, Broward, even Monroe County. Find new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer today.
All right, it might be a different kind of Thanksgiving this year, but one tradition will continue, and that's an NFL triple header on Thanksgiving. Texans and Lions, followed by Washington and the Cowboys, and wrapping up with the Ravens and the Steelers. Coverage begins right here at noon on Thanksgiving Day on AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2, The Joe.
All right, so just talking before winter break. So Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr., they've been promoting for a while now, getting ready for their pay-per-view, part of a special card that they're putting together. $50, November 28th, for an exhibition match. So I think people saw the exhibition. They didn't realize, you know, for people that don't mind the fact that they're two 50-year-old fighters, Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr., both very good in their prime. Very, very good. Made a lot of money. So anyway, I just was listening to Dana White yesterday and talking about 8 3-minute rounds. And I go, okay, 8 3-minute rounds. I get it. I get that. You know, 50-year-old guys, not going to be in the shape they were in their 20s and 30s. Get it. No judges? Ooh, what? No judges.
Weird. Yeah, weird.
Then I find out they've had the people running this thing talk to them more than once about not looking to knock each other out. It's an exhibition. And I'm thinking, so you're making that the big draw of this card, and it's got other boxing matches on it, obviously. But the big one you're promoting is Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. Again, in their prime, must watch. Both unbelievable. So you find out that they've already been told not to knock each other out, which is really why you're watching, to see
if
one's going to knock the other out. Most likely Mike Tyson, you're probably thinking, is going to knock out Roy Jones Jr. So then I'm guessing there can't be any gambling on this thing, right? You can't bet on anything with this, can you?
Well, I'm assuming there is some gambling on it. The difference is until they came out with this, if I was a sports book at this point, I'm taking it off the books. How do you have a winner?
Zach, they knew about this. Like we didn't know, but Vegas knew how this was set up. They don't just go out making. So
there's got to be a way to bet on this.
I mean,
you could bet on anything. Bet on the election if you wanted to.
How you gonna bet? Like, who wins the fight? No
I'm
judges.
Sure there's a way to
what
bet,
are you
Joe.
Do? So
I'm looking to see if I can find it.
More
anyway.
Than that, I figured that. I heard it got quiet. Yep. $50 for pay-per-view for that.
Okay.
Look, I know some of you like action and love boxing, and it is.
There are odds on it. There's odds on this fight.
Of course there are.
I just can't believe it. If they're doing an exhibition where you're telling a guy you can't knock someone else out.
Well, they told him they don't want him to do that. Like, they have told him, and then after they heard him promoting the fight, they said, listen, Mike, you can't keep talking about knocking this guy out because we don't want you to do that.
Right.
And people are going to buy that?
Right.
And then they're going, hey, we told you it was an exhibition. Exhibition. And I'm thinking, man, you're really misleading some people to think. Now, unless you think Mike Tyson's, could he still have some psycho in him where he just loses it and just tries to kill Roy Jones, says, I don't really care. It's not how I make a living now anyway. Screw you. I was going to knock his ass out for all that training, and he ends up doing that. Or they lose it, and they go all out. And then, by the way, what are those people who told him? We told you not to do that. Now, you damn near knocked each other out in that last round. Stop it.
Right.
Are you going to do that at that point, or you just let him go? It's
weird. It's a weird situation now that this is the kind of way, because, like you said, no judges. There'll be no official winner. That's what basically it says. There'll be no official winner due to the aforementioned exhibition status. So then how the hell do you bet on it?
I don't know.
There's no winner.
They're counting on Mike Tyson. Does he go
just
psycho
to knock him
or
out
not?
Cold? Right.
Anyway,
wow, that's really weird.
You know what? It's got written all over it. Don't buy me.
Right. I'll pass. Right.
I'll pass. And by the way, I think we'd all agree over the last 6 months. Now I come from the old school of where it was only boxing. And the new school UFC, and then there's some that just like all the action and love both when it's a good card, and or you just like the action that UFC gives you every week. One thing I love about UFC is Dana White gets a matchup he likes, and he signs it right away, and it's no more than 2 months out it's going to happen, according to how much they're fighting and getting it all done and pumps it up and everything else. Fighting, and a lot of these fighters got to be hurting. What happened to those heavyweights? I mean, they had a little something going with the four heavyweights. They did. They had a little something going. Two English, one from here, and one Mexican. They had it rolling pretty good with the heavyweights. All could knock each other out. All, you know. And they don't fight. They don't fight each other. How are these guys not fighting each other?
I don't know.
And Joshua might be the biggest, I don't want to call him a coward.
Well, yeah,
but,
it's close.
But how are you not fighting? Like, get it done. And this is what the knock on boxing has been going back to Pacquiao and Mayweather. Talked forever and ever and couldn't come to an agreement. Like, that was the one everybody wanted in their prime because, you know, people in Pacquiao's prime, there were a lot of people thought he could whip Mayweather. And we'll never know because we never got him in the prime. Then Pacquiao does fight him. He hurt his arm and hand, and he didn't want to say anything. So he looked terrible. Well, that's it for him, man. Right. I'll never buy Pacquiao again. He's done.
I was there in Vegas for that fight, and I'll be honest with you, the hype around that fight in Vegas that week was ridiculous, and the fight didn't live up to even close to what it was.
No,
there wasn't even one really good round. That's the difference.
The fight should have taken place 7, 8, 9 years before that.
Right, right.
It just, like, promoters can't get together and figure out
well, it's all about the split. The split was the biggest thing.
Nah, yeah, I get it, but, like, come on, man. I'm the draw. No, I'm the draw. You need the right person to fight, and 60-40 split, that's not, you know, and I need guarantees, and they end up not fighting. Dana White doesn't play that.
Nope.
Dana White gets it worked out. You want it, you get it. Pretty quickly.
Joe, two texts just came in. The same morons who bought Mayweather and McGregor are going to buy the Tyson fight. I don't agree with that text because me and you were both in Hollywood, too. We're all over.
Yeah,
that.
I was one of those morons. What the hell,
and
man?
We went to the bar and everything. I have no interest in this Tyson.
That fight was awesome, by the way, the Mayweather-McGregor fight.
Yeah, it was good.
That
was
thing
fun.
was just really enjoyable to watch. But, Joe, I just want to ask you this. If you do buy the fight, will you tell us, I'm just asking you, if you buy the fight, will you admit to us that you did?
Yes. I'm a phony, but I will come clean on that.
Because you just bringing it up means that you have interest in it. You wouldn't be bringing it up if you didn't have interest.
So
I would have put the odds higher if Joe's kid was still in town.
No, I think he definitely buys it. He has nothing to do. He's running out of stuff to watch. I think that he buys it.
I think Dana White's the most entertaining human being. So when he has these press conferences, I love to watch him. So, because he just throws F-bombs and this guy's, and he rips Bob Arum. I just love the whole thing. I mean, he calls him stuff that we talk about when we're drinking off the air and like, he just lets it rip. He doesn't care. So, when they were telling Dana White about this, like, he didn't know. He didn't know about all this stuff that we just talked about. And he's a big Mike Tyson guy. He's really tight with Mike Tyson. And I just thought, oh, I'm out. First thing I saw that, I go, well, I'm saving $50 Saturday night. I kind of wanted to see it, but not now. I'm done. All right, we got to go to break. Lynn, you up? You listening this morning? You up yet? You get that coffee in you, man? Because I want to tell you about Chapman Partnership, Lynn. Boss Lynn out there, we need your help, man. You can help us in a big way with Chapman Partnership. Thanksgiving drive is on at Chapman Partnership, man. We want to help the homeless living at Chapman Partnership. Two different fantastic facilities. We're running out of time. We need your help. 2020's been tough on a lot of people, and Chapman Partnership's been doing unbelievable work for the homeless with one goal, man, helping the homeless get back on a path towards a self-sufficient life through comprehensive care that they get at Chapman Partnership. And listen, the goal's always 3 to 4 months to help these families get back out on their own, get them jobs, and help them get rolling again. So during our Thanksgiving drive, we really need your help while you're home with your family. Please join me in 560 QAM this holiday season as we help out more than 800 men, women, and children for only $100. You can help feed a family of four, 3 hot meals a day. So please help us fill the plates of Chapman residents by visiting ChapmanPartnership.org. That's ChapmanPartnership.org. With just $100, and you can help feed a family of four, three hot meals a day. You can make a big, big difference helping us out during these really tough times, including a Chapman Partnership. So thank you so much. We need you today, man. If you can do it, ChapmanPartnership.org. Thank you so much for helping us out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!